Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
We have in the scripture this example of a love relationship between two men, David and Jonathan. It's a great example. It's an inspiring example of brotherly love. Turn with me in your Bibles then to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. In Proverbs, we read, "There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother." True friendship demonstrates our love to others. So what kind of friend are you? Today on The Verdict, we're learning from David and Jonathan, one of the strongest friendships in the Bible, as we continue to study the life of David. So, without further ado, here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce today's lesson.
Life is enriched through quality friendships. But while all of us need such friends, sometimes being such a friend is not easy. We have a great model of friendship in David and Jonathan. This man David is a man after God's own heart. He has a heart of love and demonstrates that love to Jonathan, the son of King Saul, who's trying to kill David. Last time we saw David and Jonathan entering into a covenant of love, of trust. Through difficulties, their friendship was renewed despite King Saul's bitterness and jealousy towards David. But the friendship of David and Jonathan is going to come to an abrupt and sad end. Let's listen now as we think further of the story of David and Jonathan. Here is Jonathan, one of the sons of Saul. Saul, not a good king, but he was the Lord's anointed. And as his son, Jonathan, might well have expected that he would have been king after his father's death. That's how it worked. And the lesser man then could have bitterly resented David, this young intruder, this shepherd from Bethlehem, who's now been anointed by Samuel, who's now the great hero as he's killed Goliath. But notice we read here, in verse 1, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 3, then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And we see this man is very unselfish. We see how loving he is to David. He strips himself of his robe, his armor, his sword, his bow, and his belts, and he gives them to David. A surprising example of self-sacrificial love, forgiving the interests of ourselves to advance someone else. He is, in fact, renouncing his claim to be the crown prince. David, not Jonathan, is going to be the successor to the throne. That's loving someone, isn't it? Paul in the New Testament writes, Philippians 2, verse 3, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." That's what Jonathan is doing. He doesn't see David as a rival. He has no resentment against David. But in humility, he counts David as more significant than himself. He realizes this is the man that God's hand is on. And they enter into this amazing covenant of love, of trust, of loyalty, which went to the very depth of their soul. How wonderful to have a friend like that. Have you a friend like that? I hope you have people in your life, when you spend time with them, you feel refreshed, who really are good friends. Jonathan is like that. Now, think of the contrast with Saul. The text says that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. What about Saul? How did Saul look on David? Saul is consumed with bitterness, envy, jealousy, and even hatred. That's how it is when we allow ourselves to drift from the love of God. This is what happens when we allow our enemy to lead us into a path of resentment and bitterness against others. And David's success here in 1 Samuel is contrasted with Saul's envy and evil spirit. The Spirit of God comes on David and has great success, whereas an evil spirit comes on Saul and he's characterized by hatred, by envy and bitterness. Back to chapter 18, verses 6 through 9. As they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistine, he's quite a warrior, wasn't he? The woman came out of all of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy, and with musical instruments. And the woman sang to one another as they celebrated, "Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very angry. And this saying displeased him. He said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands, and what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day on. How do you view others? How do you view the success of others? Are you a Jonathan or are you a Saul? Are you resentful and envious of the success of others? Or are you able to see what God is doing in the life of other people? Jonathan is able to play the second fiddle, as it were. Turn over to 1 Samuel 23. They say, I don't play the first fiddle or the second. They say the second fiddle to play is pretty difficult. Everybody wants to play the first fiddle. 1 Samuel 23, verse 15. David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this." Jonathan knew that in the purposes of God, he wasn't going to be number one. He was going to be number two. That God had passed over Saul's children. They weren't going to be king. And that David was going to be the king. A lesser man would have been resentful. He would have been bitter. He would have plotted against David. He would have joined his father in trying to assassinate David so that he could be the king, but not Jonathan. Over the years, one of the sad things that I've noticed in church life and ministry, that there's sometimes jealousy, rivalry, even competitiveness. That's tragic, isn't it? You see, the more you resent others, the less you will be useful to God. A person after God's own heart isn't resentful that God uses other people. They rejoice. Paul says that you rejoice with those who rejoice and you weep with those who weep. Do you honor others? When you see God at work, do you rejoice? Do you show appreciation for others? Or when you see God using others, perhaps more significantly than you, that you have a resentment and an envy? Later in the series, we're going to see Saul pursuing David, and David shows love to Saul even when he's trying to kill him, because David, a man after God's own heart, recognizes that Saul is the Lord's anointed. So here's a warning, isn't there, in our friendships and as we interact with people. We want to be like David and Jonathan, a deep, deep love. We want to be far away from the resentment and the bitterness and the envy and the scheming and the plotting of Saul. You say Christians wouldn't do that? Yes, they do. They can do that. Anyone away from the Lord can be very nasty, very cruel. But David and Jonathan are concerned with the kingdom of God. Now let me ask you to turn over to chapter 31. 1 Samuel 31, and we'll read of the death of Saul and Jonathan. And 1 Samuel 31. Let me take time. It's a short chapter to read it all just to remind you of it. 1 Samuel 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines struck down Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. The battle pressed hard against Saul, and the archers found him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. And Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and mistreat me." And his armor bearer would not, for he feared greatly. Therefore Saul took his own sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell upon his sword and died with him. Thus Saul died, and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men on the same day together. What a tragic end. And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley and those beyond the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their cities and fled, and the Philistines came and lived in them. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. So they cut off his head, stripped off his armor, and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to the house of their idols and to the people. They put his armor in the temple of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. But when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there, and they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Tragic end to Saul and his son on Mount Gilboa. But Jonathan is fighting with his father. In spite of the strained relationship, they have the common enemy against the Philistines. And Saul realizes he's losing the battle, and he asks his armor bearer to kill him. His armor bearer very wisely says, no, he's not going to kill the Lord's anointed. And so Saul takes his life, commits suicide, as does his armor bearer. First Chronicles, when the account is given there, 1 Chronicles 10, verse 4, then Saul took his own sword and fell upon it. But it's interesting, in 1 Chronicles 10, verse 14, we read this, therefore the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. He took his own life, but we thought about God's foreknowledge and his predestination. Yes, Saul is held responsible for taking his own life, but beyond it is the Lord who put him to death and gives the kingdom over to David. And so ends the very sad life of the first king of Israel. And the men of Israel, when they see what happens, they flee. And the next day, the Philistines come and take Saul and his sons on Mount Gilboa. And they take them and they nail them to the wall in Bethshan. Some of us were there just a few months ago. We visited Bethshan. We saw Mount Gilboa, see the Philistines, and they cut off their heads and fasten their bodies to the wall. What an ignominious end. Albert Edersheim writes, and now it was dark, a dark Philistine night. The headless body of Saul and his sons, deserted by all, swing in the wind on the walls of Bethshan amidst the hoarse music of vultures and jackals. A great victory for the Philistines, the very Philistines that David had earlier defeated. And so Saul is dead, and Jonathan is dead. Now, 2 Samuel 1, and with this I close. Here is, in verse 17, it's headed, David's lament for Saul and Jonathan. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and Jonathan, his son. And he said, it should be taught to the people of Judah. Behold, it is written in the book of Jashar, he said, your glory, O Israel, is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Eshkelon, the Philistine cities. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised exult. Verse 23. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely. In life and in death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. You daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you luxuriously in scarlet, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain on your high places. I was distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was extraordinary, surpassing the love of woman. How the mighty have fallen and the weapons of war perished. This surely, I just read an extract, that surely is some of the most beautiful and poetic laments in all of Scripture. What would have been your reaction to the death of someone who was trying to kill you? What is your reaction when someone you don't like, someone who's done some wrong against you, something bad happens to them? That person who stops you getting, you think, the promotion you deserve, that person who's maligned you, what is your reaction when something bad comes to them? Do you rejoice? Do you say, well, now it's my turn? They just deserved all of that? Serve them right. Well, that's not the response of David, this man after God's own heart. He mourns the death of Saul and Jonathan. You notice verse 9, he refers to the glory of Israel, and Saul and Jonathan are beloved and lovely. In life and in death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Verse 23, and three times he says, how the mighty have fallen. Oh, rather than rejoicing, this man after God's own heart is lamenting. And he also doesn't want the enemy to know of the defeat. Verse 20, tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised exult. Isn't that the case sometimes? When one of our brothers or sisters in Christ messes up, falls into sin, does something wrong, that we can't wait to tell even unbelievers the salacious details about it? That's not the reaction of a man after God's own heart, is it? He's saying, no. For all of the hatred of Saul against David, when Saul dies and Jonathan dies, David is saying, no, don't rejoice. Don't tell it among the Philistines. Don't declare it. And he gives this beautiful eulogy for Jonathan. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was extraordinary, surpassing the love of woman. This is loyal love, isn't it? Based on the covenant. Both David and Jonathan are under the Abrahamic covenant and believe a day will come when the Lord will be the great king and rule over all of the earth as the waters cover the sea. What about you? What about me? How do you regard your brothers and sisters in Christ? Hebrews 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Coming from a family of six boys, my mother quoted that frequently to us. Let brotherly love continue. Do you want to be in a church of love? Of course we do. We've experienced God's love. And the love between David and Jonathan was deep, but David's greater son, our Lord Jesus Christ, loves us much more than these men loved each other. Paul says Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Paul says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And think of his great love as our Savior gives everything he has to accomplish our salvation. They had their covenant. We have the new covenant that we celebrate at communion, don't we? The new covenant as Christ shed his blood for your salvation and mine. May we drink of that deep, deep love. That's why we never get away from the cross. That's why we never get away from the gospel, because it is there in the redemptive work of our Savior that we drink, time and time and time again of that deep, deep love. And through the Spirit, that love is continuously poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we are known as people of love. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people in our community said, you know, that big church, not sure all that they believe, but there's one thing I do know. These are people of love. It's wonderful, isn't it, when people come, even unbelievers come, and I ask them, well, what do you think? And they say, I feel loved. I feel cared for. And that they receive the love of God as they receive Christ. But as they go to a life group, as they serve, as they interact, they sense that they are loved, that we love one another. And may God bring into your life a Jonathan, someone who loves you, someone who stands with you, someone who encourages you, someone who can admonish you, someone who can help you and pray for you. Value such a friendship. And above all, continue to drink deep of Calvary's great love. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this example of this friendship between David and Jonathan. It was an extraordinary one. David says that himself. In fact, it's that love was greater than the love of woman. And we thank you for friends. I thank you for the friends that I have over the years. Thank you, above all, Father, for your love for us. And that when we're cold in heart and we're sometimes perhaps critical of others or envious of others or even bitter against people, may we quickly confess these sins and be refreshed with your love. We want to be like David, that we have success as we are doing your will. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Father, that you will refresh them and help them, and that their relationships with one another will be strong, will be godly, and will be loving, and that people who come will know that we love God and that we are disciples of Jesus because we love one another. Strengthen us, Father, then, for the task that you give to us this week. In Christ's name, amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the end of a message titled David and Jonathan. If you'd like to revisit any of today's lesson or find an earlier message from our current series on the life of David, be sure to visit our website at theverdict.org. While you're there, we also encourage you to get your free copy of the special listening guide that goes along with this study. Full of key notes, thoughtful questions, and practical applications for daily life, this handy printable workbook is a tool you'll want to utilize as we go deeper into our study. And you can download or request your copy of the Life of David listening guide today by going online to theverdict.org. And then don't forget to also sign up for John's email newsletter. Once a month, John sends out exciting updates and opportunities here at The Verdict. And if you value the gospel work of this ministry, we invite you to be a part of our radio outreach and help us share these biblical teachings with new listeners by giving a financial gift of any amount. Your generous contributions will help cover the costs to deliver the truth of God's Word to your neighbors, your community, and all around the world. To partner with us today, just go to theverdict.org. On our website, you can also learn how to join our Sunday morning worship here at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Again, just visit theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks for today's program.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you have any bitterness or jealousy in your heart towards someone? Don't be like Saul, but seek to have a heart of love like David, which overflows in love toward Jonathan. Human love sometimes comes to an abrupt end, but our Lord Jesus loves us with a love which will never let us go. Make sure you've received the love of God in Jesus Christ. Thanks so much for listening in. Join us next time on The Verdict as we think further on this man, David, a man after God's own heart.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.